Good morning. Always a great blessing to be here. Always a great blessing to worship with you. And this morning we have guests. What a blessing it is for you to grace us with your presence and to be a part of our worship this morning. Thank you for coming. We hope you'll come back every time that you can. This morning I want to talk about success. And success means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. You see, if I ask a student, what do you consider success? You saw yourself as successful, what would you look like? Well, I can tell you that when I was a high school student, I didn't care. It's pretty embarrassing. I just didn't care. Success was going to school and having a great time with all my friends, playing sports. I loved it. I was successful in the way in which I wanted to be successful. I came to college. Success in college looked at my freshman year getting by, passing. My oldest brother, who turned 80, I went to visit him Friday. He's been experiencing a little health difficulties. He loaned me a little bit of money the first year I was at Freed Hardeman. And I can hear him saying now in this way, boy, I want those grades when you get through with this semester and you better be successful. Well, I had all season 1D at the end of the semester. I took my grades home to my big brother and I thought he's going to beat me to death. He looked at it. He had to drop out of high school in the 8th grade to go to work. And so he didn't understand what success was as a student. He looked at my grades, and I thought, oh, I'm about to be dead. He said, hey, look, everybody, he passed. He showed my whole family, and it's a big family. There were 8 kids living at that time, and all of us were there. My mom was there. They all were so excited, and high fives weren't a thing of the day, but if they had been, man, there would have been high fives all around because I passed. I was successful. What does success look like to you? If you had to talk about success as a Christian, what would it be like for you? And if I said to you, listen, the greatest goal in my life is to be successful spiritually, what would you tell me? What would you all tell your friends at school? There's some good young people at school that go where you go. And there are several of those young people that are very interested in spiritual things. What would you tell them? Would you say, look at my life and let me show you a few principles that I've thought about, and this is how I've achieved my spiritual success? Or those of you that are raising children now, we've got beautiful families here. Some young children, we've got families with teenagers. If your kid said, what does it look like? You're talking to me about being good and being spiritual. What does it look like and what does it take? Would you say, look at my life. Let me show you what it means to be spiritually successful. You know, one of the neat things about living in Henderson, Tennessee, is that there are quite a few people sitting in this room today who had great, successful careers. And you retired. And you moved to what I believe is the garden spot of the world, Henderson, Tennessee. You moved here. Some of you are rolling your eyes about Henderson being the garden spot of the world, but I've told you before, and I believe it. To me, it is. It's my home. It is my home. You ask me where I'm from, I'm glad to tell you, Henderson, Tennessee. I love it. Love living here. Love living here with you. When you start thinking about those of you that have moved here who had successful careers, or if you've lived here all of your life and you've had a successful career and you're now retired, and I come to you saying, I want to know what spiritual success is like, what would you tell me? If you look on the internet, you can find guidelines, rules, whatever you want to call them. You might hate the word rules. You may be one of those people that just doesn't like the concept of rules, and you may want to say suggestions or guidelines or some other term that you like better, but they're still rules, or they're still suggestions, they're still guidelines. What would you tell people? I look, and there are guidelines for people who want to be writers, for people who want to be reporters, for people who want to be in any number of things. I'm going to shock you this morning by telling you I looked at 7 rules that successful athletes go by. I did that for 2 reasons. I have loved athletics all of my life. But number 2, God uses that concept often in His Word in the New Testament to help us see the kind of training, the kind of thinking, what leads to success. I just want to share these with you very briefly. Number 1 is these are elite athletes. They're not like me. When I was in high school, they called me a student. What they should have said is he's enrolled. There's a difference between being enrolled in school and being a student. I was enrolled. Some of you young folks and some of you less than young folks still like to play athletics of some kind. But we're talking about really successful, what the internet at least called elite athletes, the best of the best. How do they get there? How do they stay there? Number 1, they ignore distractions. To be elite means you're going to rise above all the best, and you're going to not let something keep you from doing what it takes to be great. Number 2, they practice visualization. You see, I've asked you, what would it look like if you were super successful as a spiritual person? They envision what it would look like. Would you be preaching in Colosseum kind of meetings where thousands and thousands of people worship together? Or if you're a preacher, would it be in a little congregation out in the country somewhere where 40 or 50 people are meeting together? What would being spiritual look like to you? How do you envision that? Third, they self-talk. They talk to themselves. You know, they say, I blew that one. I cannot keep going in that direction. I've got to change. And they talk to themselves. They let themselves know. How do you get up and get going from mistakes? They self-talk and they keep going. Number 4, they don't make excuses. We've got excuse after excuse after excuse available to us if we are small enough to use them. Stop making excuses, they say. If you're going to be elite, you've got to stop that habit of making excuses. Number 5, it says they go big but never go home. The expression go big or go home doesn't apply to elite athletes because they always go big. Doing something halfway, that's what we're talking about. You go all the way. You do what it takes to succeed, or you go home. And you see, many of us choose to go home because it's tough to be successful. It is tough to be elite. Number 6, they don't look for shortcuts. They look for challenges. You see, the fastest way, the most convenient way, isn't always the best. And then the last one that in this list is they do not take no for an answer. They're not worried about you rejecting them. They're going to work hard, they're going to do the best they can, and they're not going to take no for an answer. They're going to be in that starting lineup, they're going to be the best in that starting lineup, and they're going to keep working at it. They are not willing to take no for an answer. Now, what about you? You see, Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. And you see, now there's this crown. And he's looking at something like an Olympic crown. There's a crown of righteousness laid up for me. Now, what does God help us see with regard to spiritual success? You really want to be spiritually successful? Well, you can look at a group of guys as you think about what is going on. You can look at a group of guys that saw themselves as failures. They had sat down, they had quit, and along comes Jesus. Jesus, in the first place, doesn't call us to be successful in the truest sense of the word. You have to be successful. But God doesn't say, listen, you be successful unto death and I'll give you the crown of life. He calls us to be faithful. You be faithful unto death. You keep doing what God says in the best way that you can do what God says, and that's going to bring success. You know, what can you learn from a group of people who worked all night? They're tired, they're frustrated, they did not succeed at what they were going to, and they felt like failures. Well, the reality is, in the presence of Jesus, listening to Jesus, they saw some things that could give them success the rest of their lives. Just some thoughts from this passage that we have read a while ago. One of the things that you have to understand is we have human limits. The limits of some people amaze us. They just blow us away. The academic attainment, the intellectual ability of some people just are amazing. The athletic achievements, the ability to speak and draw people in and reach out and grab their heart and bring it right in, amazes me with some people. There are people that are not great orators, but boy, they're great presenters because they just take my heart right out of me and just work on it so hard. How does that happen? Well, you see, some of us can't do that. So we have to accept what we are able to do. And then we have to trust God. When you take a look at these fishermen, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, they had done all that they needed to do. And they were professional fishermen. And they still did not succeed. When we do all that we know to do, sometimes we come up empty. And we must accept the limits of our human ability and put our trust in something else. Jeremiah 10:23, a very familiar passage. It is not within man who walks to direct his own steps. We don't have that ability. We're not smart enough. We're not big enough. We're not powerful enough. When you start thinking that you've got it down and you've got life in the way that it ought to be, you need to go back and read this passage again and look at what Jeremiah was talking about. We need help beyond ourselves. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, Proverbs 14 and verse 15. So we need to accept the limitations of human achievement. Second, I would encourage you to think about, we trust the Word of God, even if it doesn't make sense. I cannot tell you how many times people will say, I see what God says, but I don't believe God would require that of me. It isn't that difficult to understand most things God says to us. Those of us with very average ability can look at the message, we can discern it, we can understand it. But every now and then, something doesn't make sense. And people will say, hey, I see what it says, but it doesn't make sense to me that that would work. And we begin to tell God, we know more than He does. Trust in the Word of God. Jesus said, hey guys, I want you to go out into the deep, and I want you to cast your nets over to the side. They said, come on man, we worked all night. We are professional fishermen. Now, some of you are going to look at your Bible, and you're going to say, it doesn't say those words. Well, that's right, it doesn't. But you have to accept the concept that they had worked all night. And they would be prone, like I would, to say, come on, man, we've worked hard all night. We're professional fishermen. This is just not the right time nor the right place. And so they looked at the Word of God, and it didn't make sense based on what they'd accomplished. But they did what they were asked to do. You see, it would have been easy to say, this guy's a carpenter. He's talking about building something with wood. Let's listen to him. But we're professional fishermen. Listen to the Word of God. Jesus said, you do this. How many times have you read this verse that is on the screen in front of you? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. How many times have you read that? How many times have you been trying to do something and God says, I want you to do this, and you think, oh, I've tried that before. These guys could have said, I've done that before. You see, we stop working sometimes because we try something and we don't get it done, and we forget to trust in the Lord and listen to God's Word. If you want to be successful, you're going to trust in the Word of the Lord even when it doesn't make sense. And in order to do that, you're going to have to, as we say in our culture, get out of your comfort zone. Have you got one of those? You see, for a lot of you in this room, your comfort zone spiritually is coming to this building, sitting in the same place, or basically the same place, or being frustrated because somebody got there before you and got your place, and you're out of your comfort zone then. But if you get your place, you're in your comfort zone. You sing, you bow your head when we pray, the Lord's Supper comes by, you observe that, and when the amen is said, you can't wait to get to dinner, or supper, or lunch, or whatever you call the meal you're going to, or you've got an afternoon of social things planned, and you get going. That's your comfort zone. And then you come back to the spiritual sense of things in your mind when you come back to the building again. You got to be willing to get out of your comfort zone. Launch out. You see, these guys had gotten out of their boats, this text says. Now, Jesus said, come on, guys. Get back in your boat and launch out into the deep. Do you think that they left immediately thinking, boy, here we go, a boat full of fish, nets so full the nets are going to break, we're not going to fill up just this one boat, we're going to fill up both boats. Did you think that? Would you have thought that? But here's what they did. They'd been out all night, had no success, and now were being asked to go back and work hard again. The kind of fishing they did wasn't like the kind of fishing that we do now, where you throw a little lure out there and your work is winding it in, you throw it again and you wind it in. And we're not talking about that kind of fishing. We're talking about hard, hard work. And Jesus is saying, do it again. Even if you weren't successful, do it again. When you read these passages from Hebrews 11, Noah was being told to work about events they had never seen before. Now, they'd never seen a boat like this ark, I can tell you, especially on dry land. They had never seen rain likely, but if they had seen anything like rain, it wasn't anything like was coming. When the windows of heaven were open and waters coming up from the springs of the deep, and then normal rain, as you and I are thinking about, those three sources of water were coming. They'd never seen all of those working together before. Noah moved to the building of an ark and to the saving of his house. That's what spiritual success looks like when you're willing to launch out. Abraham was asked to go to a place he had no idea where he was going. There's one or two people in this room you couldn't blow out of Chester County. What if you were being asked to move to California or Russia or Haiti or any other place in the world that you might need to move to be successful spiritually? Where would you go? What would you do? You see, some of us would never do it. We'd say, why would you go? I had people out of Estes several times over the years say, why would you go to Haiti? We got people across the road over there that need the gospel. Yeah, but we've got about 400 people meeting right here who could take it there, and there are fewer, much fewer laborers in Haiti. So we've got to launch out. We need to learn to persevere through disappointment, through tiredness, fatigue. These guys were tired. They'd been up all night. They'd been working, and now Jesus said, come on back and do it again. When you start thinking about that, when you add discouragement to the tiredness, this was their living. They were going home with no pay, with nothing. They had worked all night and had gotten nothing for it. How would you like to go to work all this next week and get nothing for it. Or even if you work 5 days a week, and you work those 5 days, and your boss calls you in and says, okay, look, I know you work five, but I'm going to pay you for only four. Would you like that? They worked hard all day, all night, actually, and did get nothing. So they persevered. And what God encourages us to do is let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. We need to work if we want to be successful, even when things are disappointing. And then teamwork. You see, they had such a net full of fish here in verses 5 through 7. The other guys had to come help. And when the other guys came and helped, they filled up both boats. We need to help each other if we're going to be really successful. Teamwork means we work together. We're not pulling apart. We're not trying to find something wrong with everybody around us when they disagree with us. We're going to work together. In Ephesians chapter 4, in Paul's message to the Ephesians, he told them of several different opportunities. Some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. And they work together. Why? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. If that's going to happen, if those three things are going to happen, we're going to have to work together. And then, this is something that's so hard for all of us. God can give us more than we can ask or imagine. You know, if you've got a Christmas list, could y'all develop a good Christmas list or a birthday list or some kind of list of things you want? Do this, because you can. So can I. So can these people. You see, our wants are different from yours, but our wants are real, and we can develop a long list. You see, look at what this says in verse 9. He and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. Why would we be astonished that God would give us unthinkable success above all that we are able to ask or think? Look at what Paul says. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, we can succeed. And then, when you succeed, be humble in success. That's so hard for us. When I do something right or I do something good, you better acknowledge it. You better pat me on the back. You better put it in the Chester County Independent and the Jackson Sun. And it needs to be on the front page of the worship bulletin and in our messenger that we have online. You better advertise it to everybody that Roy Sharp has done something good and he succeeded, or you're going to hurt my feelings and I'm going to pout and whine. Not good. Be humble when you succeed. Be humble when you succeed. Look at Peter. This is one of the neat qualities. We can talk about Peter jumping out there and saying all kinds of things very quickly. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me. I am a sinful man, O Lord." And then Paul reminds us in Romans 12:3 about how we ought not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. We demand so strongly our place as we see it. We demand that you put me in the right position, in the right place. But the place to begin is with humility. That's where God calls us to be like him, meek and lowly in heart. And so we look at what it takes. What does spiritual success look like to you today? If you could walk out of this building and tell people, I am successful spiritually, and here is what it looks like. You see, first of all, it would simply mean that you are willing to humble yourself before the mighty hand of God and let Him lift you up. Today, that might mean you need to make a public response. It might mean that you need to be baptized into Christ after repenting of your sins and confessing His great name, or coming back as a child of God and just saying, look, I quit. I got discouraged. I got hurt. I got upset. Or whatever led you away from the Lord and back into the world. Come back. Humble yourself. There's some people in the room hurting over a lot of things. If you need prayer, this is a super group of people to pray with you and for you. And I want to encourage you today, if you need to humble yourself before God, you will be one of the brightest lights in this room if you do that. And if you choose, please come as we stand and as we sing.